Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and maybe it's not an accident that you're listening to New Life Live today. Maybe God has something that He wants to say directly to you. Maybe there's something that you need. That's what I'm praying right now. Joining me to see what we just might be able to do to help Chris Williams and Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hey.
Both of you guys, always love doing radio with you. Both of you have worked with Dr. Amen. Right?
A little bit. Sherry, a lot more than me, that's for sure.
Yeah, but we both love his work, know his work, and you do too, Steve. You've been saved by his work.
Yes, I mean, I would be drooling right now if it wasn't for him. So we're all grateful for him, but we do have that connection. And we're all Christians, and we all are, we're all really committed to God's truth, but also how do we apply that in this most complicated, most intricate system that we exist in here on earth, where we've got all of these external influences, all of these very powerful voices that sound like they know what they're talking about, but many times they miss the main point, and we're trying to get to the heart of whatever it is. Not to put that little spiritual Band-Aid on, but to really help somebody find the ultimate solution to the problem. Now, Chris and I are doing something on March 13th through the 15th. It's the Finding Freedom Workshop. And some of you, you listen and you go, well, you know what? It's not the marriage thing I want to do. It's not. I don't need the every man's battle thing. But I've got something that's got me. I need to find a way out of whatever it is. It just could be deadness. It could be something that is a bad habit, or you just want character growth. Chris, that's what we're going to be doing at Finding Freedom, right?
I'm really excited about it. You know, there are so many times in life we just find ourselves stuck and trapped in these, whether it be behavioral patterns, or it could be an emotion or an experience. And it's oftentimes something from our past. But, you know, the gospel talks over and over and shows over and over that the power of Jesus comes in healing, forgiveness, and growth. And there is so much freedom in that. And so if you're feeling trapped or stuck, Finding Freedom is absolutely for you. We really do a 360 on our lives and look at every aspect of it, and show where God is leading us to greater healing, forgiveness, and ultimate freedom.
And you know what? Yep. Sometimes that freedom, right, when we pray to Jesus to heal us, sometimes we expect Jesus to do great things. And I think Jesus does great things.
Yeah.
But I often see when somebody is stuck that there are some wounds in the past that have captivated them. And so it's praying is one part of it, but going deeper to understand what the lie is, what the beliefs are, where you've gotten stuck emotionally, and how to engage in the deeper work so that you can not only talk about freedom and wish for freedom, but you can find it. This weekend's a kickstart for that.
Absolutely. The only pain that we can heal is the pain that is seen, recognized, and touched.
Well, Ken Taylor, when he was writing out the Living Bible in the Living Bible form, Jeremiah 6:14, he said it this way: you can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. If you got something, you talk about it, you say it, and you bring it, and we're going to help you with it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about it. It's in March 13th, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But to join us on radio, 1-800, here it is, 229-3000. We're going to go right to the calls right after this. Really glad you're with us here today, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and you.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Here's the number. We're in here for 2 hours, and I want you to join us. 1-800-229-3000. And how about we go right over here to Christy, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Great state, great station, WBYN. Hi there. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. What's going on?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I've been basically being the caretaker for my mom and dad for years, and my mom passed away in 13, and my dad and I moved out of the house, and we live in a small apartment, and I have three other siblings, and one moved away exactly when, without telling us, until they actually bought the home. And she's my sister, and she's the one who I was hoping would help me with my 92-year-old dad.
And is nobody, nobody stepping up to help you?
No, no one has. Oh. Let me just wait a minute. My sister does by phone, and she helps dad with his taxes and all his issues with doctors. If he has issues with them, she'll call the doctors and stuff like that. So I do get help, but when I told her and her husband when they were up at Christmas, or I said we were thinking, since dad is healthy enough to move now, that I'd like to move closer to you guys because they moved to Myrtle Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel, and they basically crushed both our spirits and said that's not something they would really want. But then my brother-in-law did say, we can't stop you from moving. Well, that makes you feel kind of real good.
Okay. So I think we get the picture here. What you've got is you're committed to your dad, and you've stepped in, and now you've gone from you want to do this for him. You feel like they're just taking advantage of you, and that is just one very sad thing to hear. Tell me real briefly, and then I'm going to turn this over to Chris and then Sherry. Financially, okay. How are they stepping up? You're providing all of this help. What are they doing financially to do that part of it?
Okay. My dad's financially okay. Okay.
But what about you? What about you?
I'm the one. Now, see, this is where it comes to, it's sticky. Long story short, I got a divorce a couple years ago, but then he died. Mm-hmm. We were married 29 years on paper. But it was hard because I was married to an alcoholic for 29 years. And I stuck with it, and I couldn't get him to sign the divorce papers because I had enough of lying for 29 years.
Okay, hold on a second. Are you getting compensated for all the time that you're spending with your father?
I am, in the sense that he pays for the car, we lease a car. He pays for that and the insurance.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I just want to make a point that when someone like you is doing what you're doing, you're saving everybody a lot of money, and you need to be compensated for all of that commitment and dedication. Ask us a question that we might be able to answer for you.
Do you think it's wrong, since my sister and brother-in-law don't care for me to move, do you think that it's wrong if I were to talk to my dad again and say, look, this is what I want to do, whether they want me in the area or not? Now, financially, I'm not that well off, okay? My divorce ended, but I didn't get what I was meant to get, regardless of why.
Hey, Christy, let me jump in just really quickly. Two quick questions, if you can. did they tell you why they didn't want you to move down there? And then the second question is, why would you want to move down there?
Why would I want to move down there? So I would have my sister there as my dad gets maybe less capable of doing things, and I'd have somebody there close by,
okay,
even if it's an hour.
Okay, so then the question, did they tell you why they didn't want you to move down?
No, but I know my sister, and when we talked a little bit about it here at Christmas, she was ready. She just got so angry. And
okay, so no, I'm gonna Christy, I'm gonna jump to a quick and but clear point here. Your sister seems to me to communicate very clearly through her behavior and her reaction that she doesn't have it in her, or at least in her desire, to help out more. You're wanting to move closer for her to help out more. That is a setup for disappointment and resentment. Your desire to move down there will not be met. So it's not wrong to move down there, but I do believe that you're setting yourself up.
So we have to ask what might be another plan or a different plan. Sherry, go ahead.
So I want to know, Christy, how long you have felt invisible, like you haven't had a voice, you've not felt seen or heard as you've cried out for help. How long have you felt that way?
I'm going to be honest, it's been on and off. But since I moved in with my dad, the first 2 years, I went berserk. The reason I'm asking
is, one, you lived with an addict for a very long time. And even something as critical as having divorce papers signed, it's like something in you collapses when somebody is pushing back on you. You take it personally. Instead of you looking at the addict going, he has a problem, but I actually have the right to have you sign these papers, right? It's something that I can ask you to do if you're not willing to get recovery. And with your siblings, right? As soon as you come up with an idea and they push back emotionally, you collapse again. You go to this small place. And it's like, yep, they take your power away.
Yep.
And so that requires you finding your voice. And it might be going to along the lines with what Stephen. See, this is it. When we feel like we're not worth it, because right now I know that your worth is in question. You know why I know that? Because you are there 24/7 for your dad, and you're not being compensated for it. You split the rent. That's not enough. But it would take you going to your siblings and saying, you know what, I'm here as a full-time caretaker. Typically, caretakers cost between $40 and $65 an hour. And so if you all don't want to be here, then I would like to be compensated, or I'm going to hire somebody to come in to give me some respite. They just moved to Myrtle Beach. You know, Myrtle Beach is not for poor people, right? There's just a lot of money there.
And here's what I would do before I brought any of this up. I would talk with your father about, Dad, I'm going to be here for you. If nobody else ever steps in, I'm going to be here for you. We need to change the will so that when you pass, I benefit from you dying in a different way than my siblings.
Well, it's already been changed, and I do get everything, but I was married to an addict, and my dad is an addict.
Well, you just want to be sure that you have an attorney that makes sure that that takes place. And then the second thing is you need to talk to the brother, sister, whatever, and you need to have a realistic way of you being compensated. When you get paid to do what you're doing, I think it's going to help you. Then you go join one of these great caregiver support groups And that's going to help you also.
Al-Anon would be a great place too, right?
Yeah, I think this thing Chris is saying, going closer to the unhealthy people and expecting anything from them, I don't think you're going to make things better. I think you ought to make sure things are fair, given the fact that you're the one that's stepping up to the plate for your dad.
And Steve, if I can add one more. If I can add just one more thing. Christy, what Sherry is saying about finding your voice and connecting with your desires and setting your boundaries and letting your expectations be known and the struggle there, and my comments about having expectations and disappointment, this all fits into a category and a pattern known as adult children of alcoholics.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really want you to explore what that means. Google it, look at it up. There's a book on it. There's even groups out there on adult children of alcoholics.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, I said, my dad's addicted to something else, and that's why financially he can't help me that much. But he could help me. I mean, he thinks he's helping me by paying for the car.
Yeah,
and,
I hear you.
I mean, I split the gas. And he's helping me. Go ahead.
The things that Sherry are telling you about your feelings about self-worth, that's why that you're not being compensated by the rest of the family. You should not be the one that, because you're divorced and not married and all that stuff, you're the one that's expected to do that. You need to be compensated, and you need to get the support from a caregiver support group. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back, and I hope that's something that will benefit you greatly. I tell you, we got to be nice here, people. Boy, taking advantage of her that way. And they're living in Myrtle Beach and all. And yeah, don't move close to us. Oh, my goodness. Suzanne, Dushore, Pennsylvania, Sirius XM. How you doing?
Good. How are you today?
Doing all right. What's going on?
Well, I'm kind of overwhelmed at times. I've lost my whole family. My little brother died at age 18 in 1976. My older brother died in 1992 at age 42. In 2006, I lost my mom suddenly. And in 2008, my fiancé was killed by a gang, shot and killed. And just 4 years ago, I lost my dad.
Wow.
So
I'm so sorry. Alone. And when I saw I'm in the car right now, and when I saw the 1-800 New Life, that was my goal for this new year, was I want a new life for myself, but I don't know how to get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you called us. What do you work? Tell us about your life a little bit.
No. I'm retired, and I'm involved in a lot of organizations, and I sing. I sing in our church choir, and I am Catholic, and I sing in my church choir. I'm active in my church. I do a lot of things and some other organizations. But when the holidays come, Christmas, you get up to an empty house. You know,
can't imagine.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Sherry, what do you think? I mean, boy, this is horrific.
So, Suzanne, we're just devastated by your story, and I'm just imagining how alone you felt over this holiday. I
there's days it's not so bad, like I'm busy.
No, I know.
Some days when you just get those days that it's just a crying day.
Yeah. I get it.
You can cry all day.
Can I ask how old you are? Would you mind sharing that?
I'm 63.
Okay. So you got a lot of life ahead of you. You're 63.
Yeah. So, and I don't want to waste it.
No, I get it. And I am not at all trying to compare my story to yours, because your world relationally has been decimated. But I went through a season where I sat by myself at Christmas. This was years ago. And I had no place to go. I had just gone through a divorce and I was all alone. And you know what?
I can understand that.
Yeah. And so I did something kind of crazy. I basically started working towards adopting myself out. And I know that sounds weird, but I started working because I needed some other family. I needed to be embraced, engulfed in homes that would take me in. And while it was the most awkward ask I had to do, it's been the biggest blessing of my life. And so...
Okay, we'll explain that. We'll talk more. Want to help you. Glad you called, Suzanne.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, talking with Suzanne, and Sherry suggested adoption.
Right, I adopted myself out. And you know, it was interesting, Steve, during the break, Steve was asking me a little bit more because he never had heard that part of my story. Chris was like, I never knew that about you. And I'm like, yeah. Steve asked me a question, and he said, you know, this idea of not only adopting yourself out, but then being the one that adopts others in. And I said, Steve, I did that. I didn't even know what to call it, but I became this host, and I was on, you know, very limited budget, but I remember looking for those that needed kind of like me, you know, were alone, and invited them into gatherings. I might have two or three, four people in my home. Once my home started being this place that either I brought people in, or I would go and be in other people's homes and they would invite me, right, to things, which was awkward at first. I'm not saying it's easy, but I now have new, like, I did get a new life. I got new fabric into other people's families, and I made friendships that I still get together with.
Well, being active isn't a problem for me. I take cooking classes, so I have friends there, friends that I've known from where I worked. And my old boss, he teaches the cooking classes. I take jewelry classes. I make jewelry.
And this is what I said. This is what I said on the break. I was active like you. I was running from my pain. It wasn't until...
I enjoy it because my job governed my life for so many years that I enjoy the freedom to be able to do what I want when I want now.
But this is different.
I wish I could just stay home because I'm so busy.
I know, but we run.
I just don't know.
We run.
I don't know how to get over this empty feeling.
Suzanne, let me jump in. So what Sherry and Steve are saying is not, hey, get more activity in your life. They're saying get more connection in your life.
Exactly. Yeah.
The connection's what's going to fill that empty spot in you. And having a dinner is not just about eating food. It's about having conversation. It's about being able to talk about what is going on in your lives. And in both ways, hearing what other people are experiencing and them hearing what you're experiencing and having that deeper sense of connection.
A small group church, a grief support group.
I do have a very small group like that. We've sung together for about 40 years now.
Okay.
And we go out every Thursday night for dinner somewhere. And we probably know more about each other than we should. And
Suzanne,
it doesn't go any further than the table.
Suzanne.
Yes.
You have a lot of things going for you. But you still have, as you call it, the emptiness there, right? So
yes, it's
most people, if there's a death in the family, about 6 months later, things start to get a little bit better. Well, you've had so much loss, and as you said, my whole family is gone. So what do we do in those cases? Well, we have to do some more, deeper, different kind of grieving, too. So there are three things I want to suggest for you. Number one, don't stop doing the things that you're doing, but slow down a little bit in doing them. Second thing is find the connections that you can find where you are free to talk about your pain. So it's great to take a cooking course, but it's greater to have somebody over, cook the meal for them, and be able to talk about where you are. And then the third thing is I think you ought to get into a counseling relationship where you're doing a little bit deeper grief work with that person, and they'll take you through that. An option to that, or in addition to that, you might get into grief care. It might be at a large church in your area. All of those, see, are in addition to what you're doing, because if we're doing a lot, but it's not enough, then we have to do different and do more. I'm going to send you this life recovery workbook, and I'll send you a Bible with it. But this is the grief workbook. And I think if you'll just open it up, sit down with it, and take your time. And it'd be great if you knew somebody else that needed to do some grief work. Two people going through it, well, it's really, really powerful. And I'll get that out to you. Anybody else, a gift of any amount, and I'll send it to you. We've got three of these great new workbooks. One is on grief. The other is on sexual integrity. And the third one, I'll try to remember what that one is on by the next break. All right, let's go to Tom. Chesapeake, Pennsylvania, WPMH is the station. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Hi. Actually, I'm in Virginia, but that's immaterial. That's okay. Hi. Hey, I got a question for you guys. I'm kind of a baby Christian, and I'm kind of like aspiring minister, I guess, counselor. And in my job, I happen to talk to people all day long. And sometimes I run into people that are in really dark places in their life.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to your show. I just happened to be in, traveling today. I'm listening to your show, and I'm wondering, you know, from your guys' perspective, how much is there a balance between the psychological and the spiritual for you guys?
Well, it's always that's always the question. And maybe the bigger question is, does the psychological cancel out the spiritual? Or if you're looking at the psychological, does that overpower, or does that become more important than the spiritual? I'll give you an answer to that right after this. I'm really glad you called and asked. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number if you need some help.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of four devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back talking to Tom, and he's wanting to know what's this balance between the psychological and the spiritual. It's always a big issue, and I think the big issue is a lot of people believe that if you're talking about anything psychological, you're not very spiritual. Chris, you want to talk about this first there with Tom?
Yeah, well, Tom, I honestly believe that you came to the right place, because for decades now, this has been the heart of New Life, is to help us understand the overlap or the intersection between these two things. And really today, I don't see the difference between psychological and spiritual, from the standpoint that God is really interested in transforming us from the inside out. And what psychology helps us do is understand a little bit more of what's going on the inside. And so for me personally, you know, growing up with books like Changes That Heal or Healing is a Choice, all of these New Life resources help me see where is God in the psychology, and to show that he's very powerful in that. And there's one verse that I wanted to share, and it says that, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine." Now, we oftentimes hear that as Christians, that God is doing all these miraculous and great things, which he does. But it then says, "according to the work within us. Everything in that prayer that Paul says in Ephesians 3 is talking about an internal transformation. And that's what we're going for here, is understanding our internal worlds and seeing how Jesus, through his wisdom and his spirit, transformed that.
So,
yeah,
Tom,
good.
Like in the case of addiction, some people would say that addiction is a physical problem. You know, your body gets addicted. It's a physical problem. You develop psychological symptoms, and it has a spiritual cure, quote unquote, cure. You know, because you truly have to literally surrender all of who you are to God. And so I would just say this, that it all works together, mm-hmm. and everything has to be in its right place. One of the most powerful verses in Scripture is Romans 12:2, and it says, don't copy the world, and then it says this, but be transformed. One translation says, be transformed by renewing your what? Spirit? Your soul? Your mind. The New Living Translation says, much clearer, be transformed by changing the way that you think. Well, when we're talking about mind and thinking, we're talking about the brain, not spirit. And that easily could have said by renewing your spirit or something. So I just bring that out to say that a lot of times we get hyper-spiritual, and in getting hyper-spiritual, we get superficial. And the verse that I quote the most is right out of Jeremiah 6:14, where Jeremiah is saying, then, from prophets to priests, you treat the mortal wound of my people with superficial treatment. So we don't want to ever put some kind of spiritual band-aid on something and somebody goes off and they find it very lacking or inadequate. We want the full help of God in all areas of life. Now, I don't know if that helps you or not, but what do you think?
Yeah. I definitely, I mean, that's given me some really good insight there. I really appreciate that, especially the scripture. I think when I see a person like Suzanne, for example, in the previous caller, I just see I see that emptiness as being a Jesus-sized hole in her heart, and,
sure.
and really
yeah.
that's where the emptiness is, because nothing else in this world is going to fill that.
Yeah. Well, now, you know? But let's
so
think
I
about
I don't
this.
Know if that's-
How does Jesus in this day and age love us? He loves us through other people. He loves us as we serve other people. And what we don't want someone like her increasing the amount of alone time that she has, thinking it's just me and Jesus and my Bible. That is something that we really do talk about it quite a bit here, that we need people. We need to be in relationship, and that, you know, Jesus with skin on, that is how we need
well,
to
well, and
position
I want to
ourselves.
Say this too. I mean, Jesus himself gave us an incredible example when
yeah.
Lazarus died mm-hmm. of him weeping.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
sometimes people like Suzanne will run, stay busy, but they don't stop to do what Jesus modeled, which is to weep. To weep mm-hmm. to the point that ache goes away. And so it's called complicated bereavement.
Mm-hmm.
They get stuck. So again, that is a part of their body. It's a part of their mind. It's a part of their heart. It's a part of their faith. It's like the tendons and capillaries and muscles, our psyche and our spirituality, they can't be divided. But Jesus even wept, and people get stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And just one final point, and I'm gonna send you a book, Healing is a Choice. It's got 10 choices that where we want God to heal us, but there are things we can do that put us in a place where that's most likely to happen. But we even believe, and we know of people that have been delivered from addiction and all sorts of psychological problems and stuff. But here's the thing. No one we've ever met has ever been delivered, that we know of, into instant spiritual maturity or godly character. That's the sanctification process that takes time. And what we want to do is help people have good material to grow that character, even if you're delivered from something.
Yeah, can I add something?
Sure.
Real quick before we get off that. I really believe, you know, Ephesians 6:12 is something that's not utilized in the Christian body that much. And we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. So, you know, equipping the saints to do battle is important in this day. You know, that's why, you know, that's what kind of spurred me to make this phone call in the first place. And I really wanted to figure out where is that balance? Is that balance struck between the person's belief level, you know, and their process of either knowing Christ or not knowing him? And that's the approach of how you approach it from a psychological standpoint, then transition into the spiritual. I guess that's really what I was looking for.
Well, a lot of times, you know, if the city mission says, hey, come, we're going to feed you, and we'd like you to stay and listen to a sermon. Well, you know, we're a talk show dealing with problems, and we have licensed clinical professionals here. And so we do kind of believe let's meet that practical need first and then watch this person transition into the spiritual area. But nothing we ever say, and if we did, somebody would call us about 5 seconds later, nothing we say interferes with the Holy Spirit doing a work on a person. Now, here's what I'm going to do for you. I edit Bibles. I've done about, I think, now 12. I'm going to send you every man's Bible, and I got a lot of women thanking me for sending that to their husband. But it's going to show you, or you'll see through that, exactly just how much we depend on God's Word for truth and His Spirit for transformation. All right, let's go to Sarah, Orlando, Florida, new listener. How you doing?
Okay, fine.
What's going on?
Okay, well, I am calling to see if I can get some comfort and some help and some peace of mind, because I've been married for quite a while, and my husband's demeanor and a lot of things have been changed for many, many years, and I couldn't figure out why he was behaving the way he was behaving. I kind of contributed it towards his health issue, maybe age. He's getting older. He's going through a phase and all that. The problem is, I just discovered 2 years ago that he's into pornography, and I caught him looking at the screen. And when I saw it, and he realized I was there, he quickly closed it. And I found out I caught him several times. So I tried to get him help, and every time he goes to meet with a counselor, he'll go for 2 or 3 visits, and when he hears something that he doesn't like, he would just say that, oh, I'm not going back anymore. They can't help me. They don't know what they're talking about. So
it's not a very good thing for most guys just to get counseling. We'll talk to you about what is good right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking with Sarah. Sarah, you've asked him to go to counseling. He goes to counseling. What is the question for us? He bails out after a little while. How could we help you?
Well, he's planning on going back again, because this time I told him that I couldn't deal with his behavior and his addiction anymore. And if he does not get some serious help and change his and his get his self better, I will no longer tolerate it and live under the same roof with him. So as a result of that, okay, he decided that he will do something about it. But in the meantime, I am wondering if I'll be able to ever trust him, or is he really going to change? And because I just can't go on feeling the way I'm feeling, because it is driving me crazy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, Chris, I think we ought to help her get better help.
Yeah. Sarah, I just want to affirm your strength in setting really strong boundaries around the behavior, your honesty to how it's impacting you, and your recognition that something needs to change. I think you're steps ahead of the game right now, but what we want to be able to do is help you in the right direction. But I just want to point out something that you had mentioned that I want to highlight. Addiction changes a person's personality because they become self-obsessed. It's part of it. And then the addiction helps them cope with life, we think, at least in the addict's mind, so much that they become so protective of it. And that's where the lying and the deceiving and the retreating back to it over and over again and the denial and sensitivity, all of that stuff comes in. So I just want people to recognize when you do see these radical personality changes, I say radical, it may not happen overnight. It usually happens over time. But where a person becomes more isolated, closed off, then that's the result. You know, they become harder and harder to connect with, live with, and deal with. Now, with that said... This is a specialized problem that needs specialized help. For instance, if he just tries to quit this thing, he's going to go into something called withdrawals and post-acute withdrawals. He's going to try to do this on his own, and this is a relational problem that needs a relational solution. So there's a lot of things that don't work. And so it's important that he get into a recovery group and person who knows specifically about pornographic addiction.
Well, let me send him Every Man's Battle. He'll read that. And then I want to talk to you about our workshop, Every Man's Battle, because that it's just the thing he needs to do. He just needs to come. Okay. It's a weekend. And we've got one coming up February the 7th. And we just had one last weekend. Larry Sonnenberg was there. And you got all these guys. They're like him. They've tried counseling, other things. And then they come, and they've got all of this help and support. Everybody there knows the problem, has been through the problem, or they're struggling with it. It'll change everything for him. So you hold on.
Where is the work? Okay.
Well, we do it in a different location every month. And so if it's not next month near you, it will be. But I'll tell you where the one is for next month. It's in San Jose. You're in Orlando, so we'll be your way pretty soon. But it's worth getting on an airplane or a train or something and getting there.
And I just wanted to mention for you, I love that you called us, Sarah. And, you know, I see for those on the other side of porn, addictions, or betrayal, knowledge is power. And the more that you know about it, the more that you can ask. And so I wrote a chapter in my book. It's called To Tell the Truth. And I think betrayed women need, or men need, two things. They need safety and they need the truth. And so you don't have either one of those right now. And that's why you were calling us. You said, I want comfort. I want help and I want peace of mind. And I can't give you comfort. I can't give you peace of mind because we don't know what's going on with them. But I'll tell you, we can give you some good help. And that help will help you find the comfort you're looking for. And that will help you find peace.
We'll send you Intimate Deception. We also have a workshop for you called Restore. But let me send this other book to you. In addition to Intimate Deception, I'll send you Worthy of Her Trust. That's for him, and it'll help him to see what he needs to do. But the big thing is get on a plane or on a train or in a car, go to Every Man's Battle, and end up in this place where everything is focused on him making the big change as soon as possible. That's what we want for him and you, and that's what we've been doing around here for a very, very long time. So you hold on, we'll get that to you. Larry, you're in the studio today. How you doing?
Doing good, thanks.
Thanks. We had a great devotional this morning that you gave. Appreciate that so much. Talk to us about our financial need here.
Well, it's kind of an ongoing thing. We want to be able to continue to do what we do. We want to do it to more people. We want to do it better. We want to do it differently if we need to. We just want to keep doing things because it means life change. It means people like Sarah and her husband will live in a whole different world if they get the help that they need. And they don't know about it unless they have this radio program to listen to, or unless then they take other steps to get the help that they need.
And there's nothing like that workshop, right?
No,
there's nowhere else to go.
There isn't. So I wanted to share, and we have a workshop coming up in just a few weeks. It's Intimacy in Marriage, Valentine's Day weekend. And somebody who went to that a couple years ago wrote to us, said, this was an amazing weekend for breakthrough in our marriage. We had been doing a painful dance with one another. I just love that description because marriage is a dance anyway. Mm-hmm. But knowing how painful it was, not understanding how we triggered each other. The weekend helped us see what our hurts are and why and how we can do something different to change. And that's really a big deal. How we could grow even closer as a couple. Finally, we'll be able to have the level of intimacy we're both desiring in our marriage. It will continue to be a work in process, but the reward is definitely worth it. Thanks for an amazing weekend.
So that's what happens.
Yeah, and if you're a married couple and you're doing a dance, which you are because you're married, and there's hitches in it somewhere and things aren't going just right, or maybe it's blowing up, whatever the situation, this workshop's for you. It makes a difference. Your life will be different. So I hope if you're not going to go to the workshop, please send a level of support. $10, $50, $100, $1,000, whatever you're capable of, whatever you're willing of. We're not going to twist arms and make you feel guilty too much. But we need your help. We really do.
Well, a gift of any amount, I'll send you this Life Recovery Workbook. It's on grieving, and it really is helpful. The other one is Eating Disorder, and then our other one is Sexual Integrity. And all of these are just so powerful. But we do want to help you in any way possible. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and let us help you. Or you come along, let us get a resource to you, or tell you how to get to the next intensive. Maybe you could be the one responsible for somebody else coming. And I'll just mention, on the marriage intensive, if you don't have the resources, we've got a special group that's part of this documentary, and people come, and it's pretty exciting that they're going to be filming, and you don't have to pay anything if you're willing to be part of the documentary. And Becky Brown and myself, we're the facilitators of that group.
And Steve,
but here's the main thing.
One other thing, quickly, if you don't have resources, we have scholarships. So ask about that if money's an issue.
Look, here's the main thing. Don't do nothing. Don't use any kind of what I call the fatal excuse. Call us. One fatal excuse is, we don't have money. Well, we have scholarship. Or we don't have time. Well, it doesn't take much time to do this. We can help you solve problems. That's what people do at the other end of 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We've got another program we're going to tape right now. 1-800-229-3000. Thank you, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, Larry Sonnenberg, and all of you who listen, watch, pray, and support. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.